Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Saturday night. You're listening to Bad Company with Grey Eyes Smith. And the show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. We have anthologies available on amazon.com under the same moniker of Late Night Poets. So feel free to check those out and help support these shows. So that said, tonight's show is based on picks from the blanket permission list, as well as some open poetry. All right. So that said, I'm going to check the phone lines. We have a caller. Hello, Pam Ray.
Well, hello there, Gray. How's it going?
Going good, thank you. And how are you?
You know, all in all, pretty good. So, you know, life is good, and I'm glad to be here.
Awesome, possum. I appreciate you calling in. All right, I'm going to post the first poem, if you wouldn't mind reading that, please, Pam.
I would be happy to. All right. Your tattooed in my heart by Hat. You're silent in reading my poems near the sea waves. Red lilies are left here. I touch them with my green eyes, and I have you behind the eyelid. A sip of morning coffee in the mouth with salty kisses on a red cup. Love is naked, sweetly eyeless. When I whisper your name to the wind behind the ribcage, I hear you lighting a cigarette, exhale smoke to the sky. I see your tanned, wrinkled body, tired of life. I'm a sparrow that eats the crumbs you sprinkle, and I'm the breeze that caresses your sweaty forehead, the sea wave that cleans and washes the wounds. Don't be sad, love. Door leading to the two of us is open. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And such a lovely write. You know, it's you can feel the emotion emanating from the write. And I really enjoyed the natural scenery as well of the sea and the sea waves washing and healing. And I thought it was just beautiful. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, it absolutely is beautiful. Hats has quite a talent for metaphors and imagery. And I like how this is about a kind of a love that crosses distance and crosses time. And, you know, the idea of the connection felt. I particularly like I'm a sparrow that eats the crumbs you sprinkle, and I'm the breeze that caresses your sweaty forehead, the sea wave that cleans and washes the wounds. You know, it feels like being there for someone in their troubled and hurting times. And very well done.
Excellent comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to post the next poem here. And I'll give this a read. This is called Rain, Not Thunder by Jack Tomkovic. Rumi wrote, "It is rain that grows flowers. I buzz why folks are so loud. They shout and scream, stomp their tiny feet, shake and shimmy, hold breath and turn blue. So slow down, y'all. Take a chill pill and jello, fellow. Listen to mice scampering through the green grass. Hear fish swimming, earthworms crawling, baby sleeping. Or you, blow a gasket and wind up in a casket basket." End poem. And yeah, I liked it. You know, it speaks on slowing down to smell the flowers and feel the world around you, and or you're just gonna put yourself in a casket too early. And I enjoyed it. Rain before rain, not thunder. Beautiful, right? What did you think, Pam?
It is beautiful, right? It's creative. It's thoughtful. I like what you said about, you know, slowing down to smell the flowers, learning to relax. You know, I think it also speaks on the idea that being the most noisy person usually doesn't necessarily get you your way. You're not going to change people's minds by yelling at them. You're definitely, you know, not going to encourage anybody by yelling at them. And I really like where it says, stomp their tiny feet, shake and shimmy, hold breath and turn blue. So slow down, y'all. Take a chill pill and Jello Fellow. Wonderful lines, looking at the idea that too oftentimes even adults have temper tantrums when they really shouldn't be. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you so much. Okay, I'm posting the next poem. Let me check the studio real quick here. Oh my goodness, I just lost my page. All right, here we go. All right, yeah, so if you wouldn't mind giving the next one a read, please, Pam, that would be great.
Sure. This is I Love by Heavenly Angel. I love your slow, sexy southern drawl, the way you make my knees feel like melted butter. I love the way you make my mouth go dry and numb, making it hard to swallow just by gazing into your eyes. I love how you call me baby, how it makes me smile. I love the kiss on my cheek just because. I love how you wipe away salty tears and soothe in muscular arms when life beats me down. I love to picture us side by side throughout eternity, living life realistically, removing rose-tinted glasses. Our life won't always be a bowl of cherries. Weeds will occasionally grow in our garden. But darling, I'm willing to tend to those weeds and cultivate a botanical garden to rival any other. My list of loves encompass all that you are and all that we can be together. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And I really liked it. You know, it's you could feel the love and the admiration that she has for these her partner and their life together, you know, not lived through rose-colored glasses, that weeds will grow in their garden, but she's willing to tend to those weeds and make it a garden to rival no other, and rival any other. Yeah, so just a fantastic write and a wonderful read, Pam. What did you think of the write, Pam?
Oh, this was beautiful and romantic. It came from my Thea Word Bank contest, and I thought it was just a beautiful, unforced use of the word bank. And I really like how this is sensual and it's romantic, but the most important thing is about the kind of love that goes through even the most difficult times together. So definitely very well done.
I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you, Pam. All right, I'm going to post the next poem here. And this is by I Love Poems, and she has a SoundCloud. Okay, here we go.
I love poems. Mon cœur m'a dit, my heart told me. Mon cœur m'a dit, le bonheur n'est jamais complet. Dès que le fin fil s'est coupé, sans entendre la musique fragile de la nuit, mes yeux ont hurlé. La porte s'est fermée, plus de pensées à partager. De l'autre côté, je suis moi, avec mes larmes et mon sourire. Mon souffle a tenté d'apaiser mon âme, pendant que des fleurs closes m'en rappelaient qu'il y aura toujours un ciel bleu, où le piémont d'elle remplira l'air avec de l'allégresse. My heart told me, happiness is never complete. When the fine thread was cut up, since hearing the fragile music of the night, my eyes screamed, the door has closed, there are no more thoughts to share. On the other side, I am with my tears and my smile. My breath tried to soothe my soul, while closed flowers reminded me there will always be a blue sky, where the sound of wings we fill the air with joy and the poem.
Beautiful read, Zawa. And I really liked the poem. I mean, you know, it's done in her normal and delicate and tender style that she uses. She has a very soft, loving voice in her poetry. You can always feel the love that emanates through her poems, as well as some sadness and pain as well. But, you know, she really captures the essence of, you know, being able to get through those moments that when the fine thread is cut up, sun's hearing the fragile music of the night, her eyes screamed, and then the ending, there will always be a blue sky where the sound of wings fill the air with joy. Just beautiful imagery, and the emotion is palpable. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is absolutely beautiful. I always enjoy hearing her read in both the English and the French. And I really like this brevity on how the first few parts speak on the idea of trying to find happiness. And then there's kind of the end stanza, to me, the thought of finding it, but finding it within the heart, within the mind, and within that there's a certain sense of freedom. So beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you. I'm going to post the next poem here. After I check the studio real quick here. No, looks like it's just you and us, Pam.
Yes,
you and
that's
I.
Too turkey.
Okay, so this is called Touché by Joseph Moon. Oh, Shea, dearest Shea, do thee still remember the time in my short life here where radiance uprose from thy eyes and thy innocent smile, and thee walked with wondrous joy on the promise of becoming a New Year's bride? All day, the candlelit rooms and the cul-de-sac around our condo ringing as thee t'was singing, whilst thee bent to water fresh flowers, gaily adrift in thy glorious dreams, dreaming of our matrimonial future, all the redolent month of May, day after day, wandering on that. Sometimes taking a break from the poetry books I loved and those tear-stained pages where I spent the best of carefree time, I'd lean from the balcony of our library toward the sound of thy angelic voice and the tender touch of thy fingers on the old oak organ. In awe, I'd stare up at the cloudless azure of the sky, out at our flowery garden and bird bath, where buds bloomed and wings fluttered to the sandy shore and sapphire sea. Only an immortal's tongue could tell the feelings exploding in my heart. What sweet secrets we had, what hopes, what spirit, Shay. How fortune and two lovers' lives looked then. Now, when I ponder all these promises, I'm sorrowfully stricken and bitter beyond comfort. I begin again to lament my misery. Ah, God, God, why can't thee ne'er make true thy promises? Why must thee tease and so deceive thy own children? Before December snow adorned the lawn, thee were dying, dear dove, struck and butchered by a blind cancer. He didn't see thy years blossom, nor ever felt thy heart melt under plumy praise of our unborn child or the heavenly light in her eyes. Ne'er did the family spend time with thee, coaching about motherhood, and soon, too, my own sanguine wishes withered and died. My youth, too, the dreams cut off. Ah, alas, how thee tattered my misty hope. Beloved confidant of those dreary days, is this the life we imagined? These the pleasures, the love, the journeys we two together talked and talked of? Is this what it means to be born human, to have faith in heartless gods? At the very first wind of winter, the wilted, poor dying rose, and with the wedding band hand pointed away to the stoic shadow of death and an unsubscribed gray stone, uninscribed gray stone, Sorry about that mess up, Jack. Joseph. Haunting, right? You know, you can feel the loss and you can feel the loss and the love that as he speaks of, you know, they had this beautiful, blessed life together, only to be ripped away by a cancer and her death. So just a tragic and heartfelt, right? You know, it's very emotional, for sure, of a right. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I definitely have to agree with you that it's a hard-hitting and emotional right. I like the title Touché, because while it is a name, you know, the which actually I looked up and means one who's eager to explore the world, or one who's eager to know the world, it also kind of sounds like the phrase touché. You know, the idea of the exclamation made in fencing as an acknowledgement of a hit by one's opponent, or the idea of acknowledgement of a clever point made. And so to me, I think that's quite clever wordplay in the idea that, you know, it's saying touché to death. You've made your point. You're in charge. You know, and there's a kind of a bitterness to that. I really like how this is in letter form. Wonderful imagery throughout, really tears at the heartstrings. The idea of reminiscing over time together that was lost. And you did a wonderful read of this, especially where you declared out, "Ah, God, God, why can't thee ne'er make true thy promises? Why must thee tease and so deceive thy own children?" And I loved that part. And I also really like what followed with the lines, "Before December snow adorned the lawn, thee were dying, dear dove, struck and butchered by a blind cancer." You know, how horrible to lose someone you love and lose an unborn child. Beautiful, heart-wrenching rite, and very well done.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you so much, Pam. Excellent comment. Okay, I've got the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Pam.
I would be happy to. Rapid Eye Movement by N. Chains. The time has come for fallen stars to divide between elms, honeyed twigs, upon a permanent press of hardback soil, there folds my wrinkled skin. I wore a snap-brim hat of dead red roses in push-ups of wind. I felt my bones unpeaceful upon rigid scenic graffiti of roads contrary dust beneath red-white collar of a raging moon. I was an outcast with knuckleballs, like the rising sun stood over a mourner's grave in lament. My eye, tear ducts, cross-hatching mud above, bosom of storm slung short, shot buttercups. I sung a lullaby out of the way of rainbows, until such a time as those broken smiles looked like a perihelic circle in a secret garden of twilight hues. Memories beyond silk mourns now, held tight in asphalt, valley of hunger daffodils, half a mirror's worn face pinched like a piñata sipping from branch water, in surf-witting stream-caking roots of old oak trees, peeling away moon's resin jacket, bathed in sweat, blue-washed from raindrops pirouetting profusely in thin air." End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And in her author's note, she says, "I am just me, best way to be in this life." And, you know, you really feel Jo in that, right? She has such a metaphorically rich vocabulary. And, you know, I really enjoyed, "I wore a snap-brim hat of dead roses in push-ups of wind. I felt my bones unpeaceful upon. Rigid scenic graffiti of rose contrary dust beneath red-white collar of a raging moon. Yeah, just beautiful. What did you think, Pam?
Definitely beautiful and brilliant imagery and metaphors throughout. I like that she writes in the abstract style that gives us an opportunity to delve into it and kind of make our own conclusions from it. I did have to look up the word parhelic, which is actually a circle that is like, it's basically like a circle of light, like a halo. And I like that, especially combined with the lullaby out of the way of rainbows until such time as those broken smiles look like a parhelic circle and a secret garden of twilight hues. It feels like to me the idea of life getting better because good has come into it. Like there's been pain, like pain in the past, but it becomes those rainbows, those secret gardens, those halos of light. I also really liked the end stanza with half a mirror's worn face pinched like a pinata sipping from branch water in surf wetting stream taking roots of old. You know, sometimes we have to go through a lot of pain and really dig down deep into the roots of those emotions to truly understand ourselves and learn to embrace ourselves. So excellent write and very well done.
Well, that was a very astute comment. Thank you, Pam. All right, I'm going to check the studio real quick here. And no Weaver. I was kind of hoping Weaver was going to call tonight. With that said, I'm going to posted the next poem. This is called Home on the Range by Keith Palethorpe. A Home on the Range. The distant hills were my preserve, the azure sky my ceiling. I ruled this range in days of yore, but now I'm broke, past healing. The weather is my sidekick now, and rust my favorite shade. My tires are flat, on but one side. I crave a patch of shade. Mine eyes grow cloudy with the years, but vision never falters. I see then, now, the halcyon days that I revere never alters. And so I rest my case out here upon the open prairie. A home to vermin is my lot. We all be temporary. End poem. And I liked it. You know, he really captures the picture quite beautifully. It's a picture of an old truck sitting in the middle of a field, which is quite interesting. You know, it really brings life to that truck and, you know, the life that it lived and the life it now lives as you know, as a home to vermin, which is quite tragic as well. But, you know, it's, you know, we all expire at some time, and I don't think it could be happier anywhere else besides where it is. So wonderful, right? And fantastic to read it. What did you think, Pam?
I thought this had great rhyme, wonderful imagery. I really liked the personification of this old truck and how he did it in the first person narrative. So the whole story is being told by the point of view of that old truck who has seen better days. I thought it was really clever and wonderful imagery, and especially like the weather is my sidekick now and rust my favorite shade. My tires are flat on but one side. I crave a patch of shade. And so I rest my case out here upon the open prairie. A home to vermin is my lot. We all be temporary. I like that this, it makes me think of my dad. When I was a kid, my dad had a 1939 GMC pickup truck that was red. And it actually, I think, had belonged to his father, my grandfather. And it didn't always work, but it was just like, you know, there's something about the shape of old vehicles, some of the more like classic vehicles that have that those nice like kind of curves to them. You know what I'm talking about? There's just something fascinating. Yep, exactly. But yeah, it makes me think of that. So I really enjoyed reading this, and I thought it was very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great comment. I appreciate it. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem here. And if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
And I apologize if the girls running by my room were a bit too noisy, but my daughter's having a friend over, so.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
All right. Very cool. All right. Oh, I love Jabo. She's awesome. All right. This is Diary of a Landlady to the Paranoid Englishwoman by Jabo UK. A lady booked a stay with me. She was in some distress. She left her husband and her home. Her life was in a mess. She didn't want me in her room. She said she'd keep it clean. She'd tidy up and change the sheets. She'd have her own routine. The only time she left the house was when she smoked outside. She had her food delivered and the local store supplied. One day when she went out to smoke, I thought a peak was due, and all the mirrors, all the pics were hidden out of view. She put brown paper over them and cardboard on the floor. The curtains were drawn tightly closed. She changed all the decor. She was so strange, quite paranoid, unhinged she seemed to be. She came and whispered in my ear, "Your guests are stalking me." I made allowances for her. I knew she was upset. But time went on and she got worse, but everything a threat. She stayed with me for two long months. I don't know where she went. She wouldn't tell for safety's sake. I hope she's found content. And poem.
Wow, beautiful read, Pam. And that's such a heart-wrenching poem, you know, to know that somebody's slowly losing their mind, you know, as a guest in your house, which is quite haunting and tragic, really. She was so strange, quite paranoid, unhinged she seemed to be. She came and whispered in my ear, "Your guests are stalking me." I made allowances for her. I knew she was upset. But as time went on, and she got worse, thought everything a threat. I mean, you know, paranoia, the mind is a fickle thing. And once it breaks, it's broken. You know, it's hard to repair that break in the mind and not easy to do. So, you know, her wishing her the best is all that she could do and hoping that she found content is a fantastic sentiment to end the poem. Just a wonderful write. And very beautifully read, Pam. Thank you for reading that. What did you think of the poem, Pam?
Oh, I really enjoyed this. The rhyme and flow was spot on. You know, it's interesting when somebody tells a true tale, and you know, has to put it in a format that will make it poetic. And I think Jabo does a wonderful job of that. And like you said, it's haunting and it's tragic because you just know that there's a really good chance that this woman was suffering from some mental illness. And so that really makes you feel for her. But at the same time, you can put yourself in Jabo's shoes. And, you know, when somebody is suffering like that and you don't know exactly what's going on, you know, on one hand, you want to help them and you want to be there for them. But on the other hand, you have your own safety to think about. And the safety and, you know, well-being, mental well-being of all your guests. So I can imagine what a difficult situation it was to be in. So excellent, right?
Absolutely. Fantastic comment, Pam. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome Weaver, a.k.a. Katie, to the show, Weaver of Dreams. Hello, Weaver.
Good morning to you both. Sorry about being
late.
Katie. Hello, Pam. How are you doing, dear?
Doing great. Glad you could be here.
Thank you. I got a little bit more sleep than I expected.
Did you get a chance to hear the last poem read, Katie?
No, I'm sorry. I only came in on your comments. I didn't actually hear it. I was trying to get organized.
Okay, appreciate it. All right, so I've got the next poem. If you wouldn't mind reading that, please, Katie.
Yes, my pleasure. Just need to find it. Oh, here we have got it. Right, here we are. You have to wonder why the Earth didn't take Schrödinger earlier. I've heard of that word, but I'm Schrödinger. Okay. Think as if your brain has not fully developed and that prefrontal cortex is just some funny name. Remember that you and the earthworm on your index finger are equals and that the internet is just some cat in a box whose endless questions and searches will be washed away for good in the next storm. Where crocuses and tulips dance, drinking its rain, raising their glasses to toast to all those who can't stop thinking about the future with one hand and stuck in the past. Like every poet you have met, including yourself, but know you are welcomed on this grassy knoll among the rabbits and butterflies to be beautiful and present in the of this field. End poem.
Beautiful read, Katie. And in her author's note, she says, Schrödinger's cat as a thought experiment states that if you seal a cat in a box with something that can eventually kill it, you won't know if the cat is alive or dead until you open the box. So until you open the box and observe the cat is simultaneously dead and alive. Wow. That's interesting. I've never heard of Schrödinger's cat, but it really is paradoxical for sure. Paradoxical. Fantastic, right? You know, she really captures this quite beautifully. And the internet is just some cat in a box whose endless questions and searches will be washed away for good in the next storm. Where crocuses and tulips dance, drinking in its rain, in their glasses to toast to all those who can't stop thinking about the future with one hand stuck in the past. Fantastic, right? And a great read as well, Katie. Thank you so much. What did you think, Pam?
I'm always impressed with June's writing. Wonderful imagery and metaphors. I really thought this was a great thought-provoking write. To me, it spoke on the idea of how the internet makes the world smaller in so many ways, and yet in so many other ways it makes the world larger. And there's kind of that same paradox that you find in Schrödinger's cat on the internet, where you got the idea that when you send something out there and you never see it again, it's that thought that, where do those internet thoughts go to die? Sadly, they don't. So whatever you put out there, it's out there, even if you're not seeing it. But wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Great comment. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
I had actually heard of the experiment. I hadn't heard that anything was put in the box with the cat, which would eventually kill it, because basically you're sticking it in a box. It's not going to last that long. But yes, I had heard of it. It's very fascinating. I think it's something along the lines of you put the cat in the box and you won't know whether the cat's there or not until you open it up again, which I thought was daft. So this sounds a lot more, based on fact. You don't know whether it's going to be alive or dead. But yes, I thought it was beautifully written as well. I really enjoyed reading it. It was one of those those poems that I like, which are easy to read, apart from the fact that I stumbled a little bit. I apologize for that. But it was, very interesting. And what was this prompt that it was written to, I wonder? There's loads more on the AN. Yeah, anyway,
yes,
oh, yes.
There's a poem from them.
Oh, that's what it is, yeah. So I thought this was very well written, and it brought up interesting points. And the grassy knoll, well, we're talking about when, was it a Kennedy was assassinated? And they said that the sniper was on a grassy knoll. Ah, that's interesting
yeah.
as well. Yeah, so I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you, Katie. All right, I've got the next poem up. This is by Colab. And it's called Cow's Love. Cow Love.
Cow Love by Colab. Love can't be reduced to tears. It's thicker than tumbleweeds, but pricks just as goodly. Growing stones from blood fails to fail even with prayers. Love is flaying yourself, skin of your soul, raw and throbbing. Instead of a coup de grace, salt is sprinkled upon. It's a roulette without the Russian or a bullseye without a Cupid. It's never about you. Or is it you in genuflection for something greater than you? It is big and generous, like that sunny side up of a sun. It has its own reasons, even if you don't want it to rhyme. Rhyme it will, for it has a will of its own, just like the chewing gum you just can't shirk off from soles of shoes. End of poem.
Beautiful SoundCloud. And she did that SoundCloud especially for this show, so thank you so much for that collab. I appreciate that. It was wonderful to hear your voice. I really enjoyed this. It really speaks to, actually in the author's notes it says, cow love is the English translation of the French term, which means two people who insult and tease each other a lot, but as a means of expressing their affection for each other. So I really enjoyed it. It really speaks to that quite wonderfully. Love can't be reduced to tears. It's thicker than tumbleweeds, but pricks are just as goodly. Growing stones from blood fails to fail, even with prayers. Love is flaying yourself, skin of your soul, raw and throbbing. Instead of a coup de grace, salt is sprinkled upon. I really enjoyed that. You know, it really is quite wonderful in its presentation and its expression. So beautifully done, Colette. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I enjoyed this. It was great to hear her read. I did like that title and, you know, learning something new with the A-N. It's always interesting to learn new phrases, especially, you know, translated from, you know, their original language to English. And I like how this speaks on the pain of love and how it sticks with you. Beautifully written, and I especially like it's a roulette without the Russian or a bullseye without a Cupid. It's never about you, or is it you in genuflection for something greater than you? And, you know, wonderful lines all the way through and just very well done.
Excellent comment, Pam. Thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
I particularly liked the lines that Pam just read out, but that first line, it's roulette without the Russian. I mean, that's really cool. You never think of it, do you, without the Russian? But yeah, that last stanza sums up basically what cow love must be. Rhyme it will, for it has a will of its own, just like the chewing gum you just can't shirk off the soles of shoes, which is very true. Yes, and it was lovely to hear her voice, a beautiful reading voice. Yes, I really enjoyed this. It was very clever, tongue-in-cheek, as it obviously would be, but very well done. It may be slightly negative in the aspect of cow love, but it's very bright in its reading. I really enjoyed it. Well, thank you for that.
Absolutely, thank you. And I knew Pam would like that cow love term. She seems like somebody who would. You seem like somebody who would poke fun with your loved one as a means of affection, Pam.
Oh well, yeah.
I don't know.
Test them to make sure they're strong enough to keep up with me. You know.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can see that.
I like it.
Awesome. All right, so I'm going to read the next poem here. This is called TNT by Lawrence, 67. TNT, help! The evil that we see, times tree. Oh, Lord, help us. Hide the women and children. Terror has overtaken the small community of law-abiding, mainly senior citizens. Tree notorious terrorists, or TNT as they have been labeled, are in fact Ringo, Butch, and Larry, three of the most vicious, violent, and deadly outlaws that have ever been. Rumored to have never been successfully caged, these three combined have been involved in some of the most horrendous and calculating acts known to mankind. In an interview with one of the outlaws before their horrific spree, was asked, why three instead of three? Was this an attempt to mislead the public? The leader of this terrible trio, Ringo, was quoted as saying, me no know how to spell three, but me like to climb tree. Meadow me, meow me, never surrender until we destroy the world. Now where's the kibbles? Frightened citizens were alerted to keep the doors locked and hide under their bed until the storm passes. Lordy, lordy, bad kitties, was what one senior citizen was quoted as saying. Stay tuned for more updates on this ongoing catastrophic event. I liked it. You know, it really is a fantastic write. He's gotten gold for this poem in the For the Love of Pets contest. And I thought he did brilliantly with it. You know, he really captured the spirit of these tiny little rugrats that are terrorizing the neighborhood. And he's got a picture of three little kittens in a cat bed, which is just adorable as well. So fantastic, right, Lawrence? And I appreciate your sharing. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, this was great fun. It gave me a smile on my face. I saw he won gold in this contest and definitely well-deserved. I really like when he writes about his three troublemaking kittens, because anybody who's had one cat or especially multiple cats will understand how they can be so absolutely mischievous, you know, and look so adorable that you'll forgive them of almost anything. I particularly like the leader of the terrible trio, Ringo, was saying, me no know how to spell three, but me like to climb tree. Meow, me never surrender until we destroy the world. Now where's the kibbles? Oh, my gosh, that part just absolutely caught me up. So great write and very well done.
Excellent comment, Pam. Thank you. And I'd like to say hi to Hope Soul and Nuno Cardoso in the Late Night Poets group, as well as Fill My Eyes in the background. Hello, everybody. And thank you for listening and thank you for sharing. What did you think of the poem, Weaver?
It was so good. Oh, those little things, the cutest of things. Look, what faces. I thought this was very, very clever. I mean, really, I mean, I've heard Irish people pronouncing words like that. Tree instead of three. But that first stanza, TNT, help, the evil that we see, times three. Oh, Lord, help us hide the women and children. So good. I loved it. I really did. That really tickled my funny bone. Oh, my. And then that, the one that Pam read was wonderful. But that last, stay tuned for more updates on this ongoing catastrophe event. Catastrophic event. Oh, brilliant. And the names, the three, Ringo, Butch, and Larry, it just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? It's perfect. Yeah, I thought it was incredibly clever and very entertaining.
Absolutely. Great comment. And I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind reading that, please, Pam.
I would be happy to. All right. Let's see here. All right. A very special poetess by L.G. Mace. There are many poets numbering in the thousands in this world, even though most people seem to think that poetry is out, this poetess is an independent thinker. Her muse is specially gifted, a uniquely beautiful girl. She takes her words that flow from her heart, taking a different route. Those images enhanced flow from a truly free spirit, from a bleeding heart to this truly gifted poetess. Poetry is more than just a literary art. I've read her poems many times, and they never cease to touch me. For many poets can write of many different things, but Rand's are words of utter beauty. I see the essence of the scenes her muse's quill does set. They both inspire and influence me and are something I shan't soon forget. So Rand is given well-deserved kudos to recognize supremely talented art. She's a very special poetess with an extremely beautiful and giving heart and poem.
Thank you, Pam. Would you mind reading the author's notes, please?
Oh, I would be happy to, yes. All right. And the author's notes say, this poem is written to honor Randa Yozy. Oh, that is absolutely wonderful. Oh, very cool.
Absolutely. Great comment. I mean, great read, Pam. Thank you. And I love the poem. You know, it really gives props to a wonderful poet that Rhonda is. And I thought it was just a beautiful, beautiful poem dedicated to a special poet that really captures the mind and the heart of her readers. So beautifully done, LG. And I appreciate you sharing. What did you think, Weaver?
That is just wonderful. It really is. Fancy. It must be. It was an amazing thing to do for someone, because we don't. Some people, you know, we can't always be as generous as we should be. And this is just somebody who truly admires the work of another poet, and wants everyone to know, which is great, because I will now read her work. And that's getting the message out, isn't it? Tell one person tells two people. It's great. But you must be wonderful to have this kind of tribute made to her. I think it's really lovely and beautifully written as well. You could tell the emotion behind it, which I think is wonderful. So, yes, thank you very much for sharing that with us, LG, because I will now have a someone else to read that I've been told is great, because there's an awful lot of great people out there writing. Thank you.
Thank you, Weaver. Great comment. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I like this. And I have to agree, you know, that Randa is a wonderful poet and a very kind, at least she comes across to me as a very kind person. And I think it's so nice for people to know that they've made an impact with other people. So I like that LG has written this tribute to her that is, you know, very much felt in the heart. And I like how she talks about the imagery within Randa's writing. But I think the most important part here is where she says she takes the words that flow from her heart, taking a different route. And to this truly gifted poetess, poetry is more than just a literary art. You know, wonderful lines on how poetry written from the heart shows who a person truly is. So very well done.
Agreed. And thank you, Pam. Excellent comment. And Hope says in the group, oh, wow, what a lovely declaration of affection. So thank you, Hope, for that. All right. Okay, I've got the next poem up. If you wouldn't mind reading that, please, Weaver.
Yes, of course. No problem. So we have, is it Mamya? Yes, Mamya. Bleach does nothing. Whitewashing walls inside my head. The smell of bleach, a heavy perfume. Towers ring aloud at every brushstroke. Staccato rhythms, painting stains. Carl Jung perches on the sewing corner, spying, washing his hands, buzzing theories. Freud babbles in the tracking in mud sexual innuendos, adding Jackson Pollock to blotches. My bristles now red, spreading rose chart images. copper coating my tongue, biting down expletives. Giving up on order, the walls become a kaleidoscopic tunnel disappearing into entropy. Sorry about that stumble, but it was beautiful.
Absolutely no problem. And I had to Google entropy, and it says lack of order, predictability, gradual decline into disorder. You know, it's a very haunting image of trying to clean your mind of all those things that stain. And, you know, you've got psychiatrists babbling in your head, and brush it by bristles now red, spreading rose shark images, copper, copper coating my tongue, biting down expletives, giving up on order, the walls become a kaleidoscope tunnel, disappearing into entropy. Such a hard-hitting and impressive write on the subject of trying to clean your mind of all that causes it grief, which is a fantastic thought. But, yeah, very heart-wrenching as well. So what did you think, Pam?
Definitely a powerful and emotive write. Short, impactful lines, wonderful imagery and metaphors throughout. I do like how this speaks on the idea of feeling broken, feeling dirty, and wanting to be repaired, but having to deal with being bombarded by everybody's opinion on how you should repair your mind and your heart, which oftentimes makes it even more difficult to go through the process. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think?
So it's a very well-written poem. I really enjoyed it. And I can understand exactly what Maya's talking about when you have a mind full of... Because you hear things. And when you've heard something, you can't unhear it. So it's there in your head. And you may not necessarily agree with whatever it is, but because somebody else has said it, you've heard it, it has an effect. So you could be trying to think of all the most wonderful things in the world and not hurting anybody. But still... those intrusive thoughts are there. So I can understand exactly what that feels like. And I love the references to Carl Jung and Freud. I love that. I was taken aback by the Freud stanza because it was so clever. And I just, you know, Freud babbles in tracking in mud sexual innuendos, adding Jackson Pollock watches. Brilliant. Now I've got time to look at it again. It's so clever. You can just hear Carl Jung strollingly whistling, younger than springtime am I. So funny. Ah, dear. So yes, I thought it was so cleverly done. I really liked it so much. Just on point, exactly. And you know, we know exactly what she means as well, which is great. So thank you for sharing that. It was a delight.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. Okay, I'm posting the next poem. We're now into open poetry. So this is called Forever Chasing Tomorrow by Daniel Descino. What is the world beyond a universal atom? What animal ignorance beyond the thought of the world as themselves? The earth, child of the sun, has seen its surface fluctuate as graffiti walls reflect the pulsating streets. We are but a surface itch in the endless time of the earth, and the earth has yet to be annoyed enough to scratch us off. My vision is cloudy from a few hours past my current existence, a rarity when the days ahead become clear. But for the vast reality, my next footstep is confusing. Years ahead in the billions becomes concept of a riddle, lost beyond legend and written in a forgotten language. When the earth lay in dying days and the last breath of air sails on lonely skies, will humanity be a monument of a garbage dump, a thought buried in a cosmic or historical journals, or will our spark die before it even ignites? I like to believe I have been gifted with sight, but I am basically blind. Wow. That's a powerful write. And he says, a poem in the human concept on the end of the world. Wow. I mean, this really resonates loudly with me. This is to celebrate Earth Day. And I thought it was wonderful. You know, he's very talented. And, you know, we are but a surface itch in the endless time of Earth. And the Earth has yet to be annoyed enough to scratch us off. You know, I've always felt that, you know, humans are nothing more than, you know, like a parasite on Earth. And, you know, we live off it. You know, we can't live without it. So it becomes our vessel of living, and yet we treat it like trash. And, you know, we poison the air that we breathe. And, you know, will our spark die before it ever ignites? And then I like the way he ended it with, I like to believe I have been gifted with sight, but I am basically blind. A powerful right, Daniel. Excellent right. What did you think, Pam?
This was a great right for Earth Day, which I have to agree with Daniel. It should be every day, but at least we have one day to remind people, you know, how important the Earth is. You know, great imagery and metaphors, a wonderful rite for Earth Day. To me, I like how this spoke on the importance of Mother Earth, the importance of Mother Nature. And it's a sad reality of mankind that too often we think we're the most important thing in this whole ecological system that we call Earth, but really we're just one of many small things. As you were saying, Gray, too oftentimes we are a parasite. And, you know, I really like this all the way through, but especially my vision is cloudy from a few hours past my current existence. And when Earth lay in dying days and the last breath of air sails on lonely skies, will humanity be a monument, a garbage dump, a thought buried in cosmic historical journals? Really just thought-provoking lines, and very well done.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Pam. Thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, man's journey upon Earth has always been something that fascinated me. It really had. It's random. You know, why are we here? How are we here? And why are we not learning? Because let's face it, we've had enough time now. We've seen it happen. It's happening around us all the time. Polluted water, polluted air. I had written a story about a planet that we didn't know existed. And this planet used us as a what not to do manual. So they pop across to have a look at us every so often, see what we're up to. Oh, that doesn't work. Well, we won't do that. And basically that's what we were, a what not to do manual for another Earth who were thriving because they paid attention to what we did wrong. I mean, and that rings so true in my head. I can imagine this planet thinking, what are they doing today? Oh, no. Brit coins? I don't think so. Oh, no, definitely not. So very clever and very thought-provoking, and I agree with everything that Daniel says here. It's Forever Chasing Tomorrow is such a beautiful title as well. So thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. Okay, dokie, Pam, I've got your poem up, if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
All right. And this is the thundering approach of the rapture. He, Kate, goddess of spirit realms, warily watches over the shadow lands, knowing mankind stands on the edge of a new and awakened age. Rubicon nights painted by palms of prophecy, doe-skin drums beat a thundering rhythm, announcing the impending wrath of warfare. Mystics and mages bow beneath a blood moon, crimson light caressing the sword of ages, blessed weapon given to a people held in eons of bondage, unveiling urges aroused from epic anger. Stygian smoke rises into a scarlet sky. Howls of henchmen are heard, raging across sweeping plains. wildflowers trampled in their thundering approach. Cradles of ancient prayers flicker. Warm wax drips upon fertile earth. Reckoning songs of crimson gore release the rapture. Agile arrows soar through feral flames as the luminous power falls from a swollen dahlia moon upon a blade of steel in the heart of a hero that will lead a valiant people towards a long-awaited victory. Lunar light has become a beacon of freedom. End poem.
Wow. Fascinating, right, Pam? You know, I really loved your detail in this, as well as, you know, your thought process. You know, it really is fantastically amazing. You know, you have a powerful mind, and I really like your use of language. Rubicon, knights painted by palms of prophecy, those skinned drums beat a thundering rhythm, announcing the impending wrath of warfare. Wow. And then Stygian smoke rises into a scarlet sky. Howls of henchmen are heard, raging across sweeping plains. Wildflowers trampled in their thundering approach. Wow. Just an amazing poem, Pam. Very well done.
Thank you, Gray.
Absolutely. Weaver, what did you think?
I was taken aback by this. I had looked at this picture before and thought, well, I haven't got the faintest. I would not know where to begin. But there you are. You took every element of that and made such a wonderful tale of impending war and mankind on the edge of a new awakening. And, oh, I just thought it was wonderful. And your alliteration was so sweet. Stygian smoke rises into a scarlet sky. Wonderful. Howls of henchmen are heard. I just really enjoyed it. It took me on a story journey, which I really enjoyed so much. And then we have agile arrows soar through feral flames as the luminous power falls from a swollen dahlia moon. Ah, it was, I don't know where you got the idea, but it was really excellent. So thank you so much for sharing that. Great.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. I enjoyed it.
Would you like to say anything about your poem, Pam?
I can't think of anything, no. Sorry, but thank you.
Okay. Hope Soul says, whoa, what an epic story. The details in your choice words really create vivid images. So fantastic job, Pam.
Thank you.
You betcha. All right, Weaver of Dreams, I'm going to post your poem, and you have a SoundCloud, so I will play that forthwith.
Oh, great. Right after Pam's wonderful poem.
Well, I'm sure yours is just as good.
Blood eager and ready to hunt, I awaken to the welcoming dusk. Fangs lengthen in the moon's glow, my body consumed with bloodlust. The first inkling that all is not well is when I find the rest of my bite are not beside me in the dank crypt. There is no way any of this feels right. I still myself and hear human hearts, but there's no vampire minds to read. My enemies are gathered to end me, whereas my simple aim is defeat. Like a dervish I swirl, whirl, and kill. Bodies drop, the hearts ripped out. My vengeance sweetens their blood. Then I hear a distant voice shout. One survivor, my brother in death, is all that I have left of my old bite. We will build an army of newlings, ready to take the fight to the night.
Wow, amazing SoundCloud. And, I like your author's notes where you say, Bite, my name for a group of vampires. And Newlings, my name for newly made vampires. I mean, you can picture all this as you read through it. It reads like a movie scene, and it's very haunting and dark. Very well done. Excellent write and fabulous read as well, Weaver. Pam, what did you think?
Oh, I do enjoy a good vampire tale. This is just deliciously dark. It brings us to a powerful lead character. I like that it makes me think of somebody, like you put a vampiric twist on the Hunger Games. And I thought that was quite clever and great visceral imagery, you know, all the way through. But I do especially like the dank crypt. In the dank crypt. There's no way yet any of this feels right. And bodies drop, the hearts ripped out, my vengeance sweetens their blood. Then I hear a distant voice shout, one survivor, my brother in death. And I like how that ending gives that sense of hope that their bite, their tribe shall be renewed. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you so much.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And in the group, Hope Soul says, I always really enjoy Weaver's SoundCloud. She brings so much with her tone to her reads, a dark feel and haunting images. So great job, Weaver. Would you like to say anything about your poem?
No, not really. I enjoyed so much writing it. I do love writing that kind of vengeful vampiric thing. They get a bad press, vampires. So yes, thank you very much. Thank you, Hope, for your comments.
Yeah. Absolutely, and you know, I wonder why they get a bad rap. You know, it's like a dervish. I swirl, whirl, and kill. Bodies drop, the hearts ripped out. My vengeance sweetens their blood.
Yeah, I get your point.
Yeah, absolutely, great, right? Fantastic. All right, I've got the next poem up by Ben Hart, and this is called The Book of Bruises. The bleeding hearts of rainfall run through every shade in the Book of Bruises on their way to smolder like earth nebulae to the bereaved beholder, welcoming her back again. Dancing in the dying breath of the last streetlight shining, letting the tepid rain scar on starving lips, every sway of her hips, a rather sad silver lining for the dreamer in the dark, chasing ghosts across pastel deserts, and I'm sure they'd gladly go if we'd ever let them, but we need them more than the dead men, filling the footsteps with more snow, and I dare not look at her because I fear I'll find somewhere in the wasted eyes that beauty had blinded myself so far away from daybreak, so recklessly reminded that I am a mosaic of mistakes and nothing more. And there was a time I was not afraid of kissing glass snakes in the garden of Gethsemane. Seek out a lonely demise in a romantic disguise. But now I have worn the crown of thorns before and know that on the third day I didn't rise because I was still washing the blood from my eyes and clearing the anchors of aching you left upon my fortunate shores. Sam, I can't do this anymore. I may still be too young to overdose. I'm getting too old to be unhappy. Please retreat. Pull out your cold hand from my chest, but leave my heart with me. I guess Achilles was not who I turned out to be, because I never won the fight against the disport tide. I see tattoos buried in a trench coat, and I can hardly breathe. And Sam, please believe, I commend every attempt to untether me, but what you think is healing, what you think is kind, doesn't feel like mercy to me. Everything between bruising and birth, tattooed on my celestial skin by someone divine that couldn't find the time to color me in. You're leading me down the black hedge maze of the mind, where blackbirds sing on a wire about the pull of love unrequited and the push by which we left mother behind. And it's in his author's notes, he said, everything based on prompt by Eric Svensson, the most beautiful skies you ever see. Sam, like Ben, is a part of me. It's the name I gave to the gender dysphoria I get once in a blue moon. Wow. Yeah, that was an epic write, you know, very image-filled and deeply engaging throughout. It does almost leave you speechless. And, you know, the awareness that he writes with. And I thought it was just it was a sad and painful tale, for sure. And congratulations on your gold as well, Ben. Thank you so much for sharing. But in the beating hearts of rainfall, run through every shade in the book of bruises, on the way to smolder, like earthly nebulae, to the bereaved beholder. What a way to open a poem. And his artwork is fantastic. I know that's his artwork. You can tell by his style. Very well done. Excellent, right? Fantastic imagery and a fantastic artwork as well, Ben. So beautifully done. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, this has amazing imagery and metaphors. Brilliant, hard-hitting lines. It's really a wonderful introspective write on the idea of, you know, coming to terms with yourself, accepting yourself and embracing yourself, and how that is, and it's a painful process to go through. I really like Sam, I can't do this anymore. I may still be too young to overdose. I'm getting too old to be unhappy. Please retreat. Pull your cold hand from my chest, but leave my heart with me. You know, and I see tattoos buried in a trench coat, and I can hardly breathe. And Sam, please believe. I commend every attempt to untether me. But what you think is healing, what you think is kind, doesn't feel like mercy to me. You know, it's that idea of acknowledging all parts of yourself and the necessity of them to be a whole person. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, this was... I think it's wonderful to be able to examine yourself truthfully without avoiding any of the things that perhaps you may not like about yourself, or be able to deal with yourself. And also, I know it's cathartic to get it out there and let other people see what is going on, because we're all, it's a difficult life to live, because we all on the outside, unless we've got bandages or we've got splints or anything, we look absolutely fine. We're walking, we're talking, we're living, but nobody knows what's going on inside. And that's the pity of it, because you can't empathize with what you can't see. You can't understand what you can't hear. So I think it's a great way of being able to face up to different things, let other people know that if they're feeling the same way, they're not alone. And I thought it was beautifully written. I really thought it was wonderful. And that stanza, and I dare not look at her because I fear I'll find somewhere in the wasted eyes that beauty had blinded myself, so far away from daybreak, so recklessly reminded. Very well done. So thank you for sharing.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. Okay, Pam, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Oh, yes, I would be happy to. All right. And this is Forest Fire by Hope Soul. Sow your open lips onto my own thick marmalade molasses words atop of this flesh that cries out for more, showers underneath rain-filled blossoming clouds, giving up the drought of hips not giving, turquoise hems, lavender pine cologne, polishes manicure nails, pushing back beds of rose dimple quartz, French rules, champagne fizzing on a soft belly, midnight oak kissing, fountains of silent rivers that touch toes that curl, a pair of tens that you swirl your fingers on right before we dance underneath light breathing, hand holding long stem lilies that touch ribs to breast, apples that crisp, woven Latisse homemade pie, which are kept warm in the wood-burning oven that you add kindle to, a controlled burn that only you can manage. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And, you know, I really like the way, you know, she has such layers of sensory, you know, like you can smell the apple pie and you can smell the rain and you can feel the molasses on your skin and, you know, you can feel the heat from the wood-burning oven that you kindle, that you add kindle to. And I really enjoyed it. You know, it's a very loving and deep, powerful poem. Beautifully done. What did you think, Weaver?
I agree totally. This is beautifully done. I love the way she shapes her lines. This one has got a beautiful curve to it. Ah, wonderful. And that just adds, it really does add to it. You'd be surprised the small things that your eyes see and don't really acknowledge. And that is one of them. The shape of that poem is just a wonderful curving. I think it looks like a curving waist and hips. Yes, I thought it was wonderful. I love the use of those beautiful words. Turquoise hems, lavender pine cologne. And the little things like polishes, manicure nails, pushing back beds of rose, dimple, quartz, French rose champagne. Yeah, yeah, because we know that you can only call it champagne if it's made in France. French rose champagne fizzing on a soft belly, midnight oak kissing, fountains of silent rivers that touch toes that curl. Just beautiful. It's full of love and full of caring and wonderful memories. So thank you for sharing that with us, Hope.
Great comment, Weaver, thank you. And Pam, you read it, what did you think?
Oh, this was lovely. It truly was a treat for all the senses. I like how, to me, the main theme of it was the idea of a love that burns with a steady flame and how it's those small moments together that really make a big difference. I thought there was such wonderful wordplay in this. Beds of roses, dimple quartz, French rule, champagne fizzing on a soft belly, and toes that curl, a pair of tens that you swirl your fingers on right before we dance underneath light breathing. But absolutely wonderful lines and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, Weaver, I have the next poem posted, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Yes, I'd be happy to. Just give me a moment. Oh, yes, here we have. We've got it. Fly, birdie, fly, hear my cry. Lovely, lovely title. Let them crack in harmony. Bones not made, but certainly fragile china white pottery. Hearts shaped casts pouring wine that comes out transparent through a weak, crystal-like eye. Let them crack as the metal birds fly on neon noir swan song skies. For one day, I will be one with, no, I am already one with you. And let the sun die. Let's chase the bed bugs off one by one. Smile upon the star-filled rum. Honey-glazed ham knows we are one. Upon him smiles the father, son. Benjamin is a promise of greener lands. Grin back to a flight attendant grin, where they fill up dark beer piss pints. Every time every customer dares to ignore the previously mentioned crystallized light wine eyes. Yes, I will always be one with you. End poem.
Beautifully read. And I like the poem. You know, it's definitely interesting. You know, he has a unique style that is very engaging and makes you think as you read. On neon you are swan song skies. For one day I will be one with. No, I am already one with you. And let the sun die. Let's chase the bedbugs off one by one. Smile upon the star-filled rum. Honey-glazed ham knows we are one. And I really enjoyed it. You know, it's deeply engaging and powerful in its presentation. So beautifully done, you know. And congratulations on your love affair with Hope Soul. It's a beautiful thing that you two share with us weekly, which is fantastic. I appreciate you both very much. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this is amazing, and definitely a deep love like that is definitely a blessing. I like how this is on that spiritual and emotional connection. Wonderful imagery and metaphors. Great ending. Yes, I will always be one with you. I also like the imagery and let the sun die. Let's chase the bed bugs off one by one. Smile upon the star-filled rum. Honey-glazed ham knows we are one. Upon him smiles the father, son. I really like those lines. I like how it speaks on a sense of connection. And that happens even in the darkest of times. So very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think?
I'm sorry I stumbled a little bit on that. I'm afraid it does happen occasionally. Sorry. But I thought it was wonderful. It was great to read. I have one line that I love so... I mean, I think all of it is wonderful. But there is one line that I just loved. On neon noir swan song skies. Ah, that's just beautiful. It really is. For one day I will be one with... And then we realize, of course, you already are one with you, and I think that's lovely. The sentiment and the love in this is just so, well, it's unique in the way that you write about it as well, because the way you turn your phrases makes one think again and read again, which is always a good thing. But I grin back to a flight attendant grin. You know that false grin. If you're dealing with people, you need to be able to give that look of being completely delighted with everything they say. So I thought it was very well done. Thank you so much for sharing.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. Okay, I have the next poem. This is by Leif van Amsterdam, and it's called God Strike Me Pink. When I die, if there is a God, I will tell him I'm not overly impressed. It could have been so much better so often. The time wasted, the time hated, the isolation, all the abuse, tolerating morons, psychopaths in power, the media noose. I'll need some long explanations, the broken bones, the lying politicians, the surgeries, misleading teachers, sadistic bosses. Have I paid my debt now for the bad karma? A final reincarnation. The reason for this dance? Do you see me cry? I call for an appeal. Spirit world will reveal. End poem. And he says in his author's notes, his latest poetry book, Touché, was self-published in 2022. And this has God, spirits, afterlife, life, pain, suffering. You really do have to wonder a lot of times, you know, if there's such a benevolent God, why is there so much suffering and turmoil in the world that we live in? You know, you really have these questions that you want answers to, and you'll never get them, unfortunately, until maybe you cross over the other side and you can ask the mighty one what happened, what's going on, why is it this way, you know. And so I understand now the title, God Strike Me Pink, Tickle Me Pink, Strike Me Pink. So just a fantastic write on the questioning of life and God's role in it. Excellent write and well done, absolutely. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree with what you said. You know, and I like to think that if there is a higher power, which I believe there is, but I know everybody believes their own thing, which is absolutely fine, that, you know, they're able to face questions. And as human beings, we are filled with questions. We have this desire to learn. And it is a very difficult thing. Philosophical thought of free will versus divine will. And, you know, this is a hard-hitting right that basically is asking that question, why does evil have to happen in this world? Why do these frustrations have to happen? And how much bad stuff, especially at the end, you know, how much bad stuff do I have to go through? And I really like the raw, honest humanity of this right. I'll need some long explanations, the broken bones, the lying politicians, the surgeries, misleading teachers, sadistic bosses. Have I paid my debt now? You know, wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think?
Hard hitting, yes, definitely. Here's someone who's not waiting for that lightning to strike. He's saying exactly what he wants to say, and I agree totally, because I have always had those questions in my head too, and I hope he does get his message over. Yes, I understand. I envy anybody who has faith, because that is a wonderful way to live, and you know, and lots of people have it, so you know. I don't know what, neither section are right or wrong, because we don't know. That's the problem. That's why we continually ask these questions, because there is no way of knowing. Even those people who say, like Conan Doyle, who was a great believer in afterlife and spirits, etc., he said if there was any way that he could come back and tell us that it's true, that there is life after death, he would do it. Well, he didn't, and that's a little bit worrying, because that's one man who would have tried very hard. So, I, as I say, I can see both sides of the coin, neither right nor wrong in this. It's a belief. But, I mean, this is, that's penultimate stanza. I'll need some long explanations, the broken bones, the lying politicians, the surgeries, misleading teachers, sadistic bosses. Yeah, and you can see that, because once you give somebody power, what's the saying? Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And it's very true. It really does. It brings out the worst in some people. So I think, all in all, this is a well-written, very interesting, very clever piece of poetry. So thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you. Okay, Pam, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
All right. Let me get back to where I need to be. Oh, here we go. Hurriant Hurricane by Luke J.R. Exposure within the elements, hurricane together. We're both frozen in shock, hearts beating together. We're both frozen for a clock, hands ticking together. Watch as every element becomes something unique. Our palette of minerals, stars, elements blending, mixing, matching, pulling, catching. We're the stars of this silent show. Within this event, our hearts will know. Exposure within flesh, walls will refresh. Loneliness will be our guest. We could have guessed. Sadness will be our past. We could have laughed. Exposure within our bodies, outside, we're nude. Eyes will continue to protrude. Our future is rude. Our palette of tears, broken hearts, fears, we're inside the elements, hurricane, deeply in pain. Yet I feel numb. This is surely insane. I'm past the time of healing. I'm lost within the ceiling. You're the one I'm grieving. I'm the pillar kneeling. Exposure within corruption, universal combustion, were the bombs of this reality, nukes unheard, were the monsters of this universe, silent without words, We're speaking our own languages, taught for centuries. We're breathless. Our hearts will continue to beat until the final stopping point, balancing point, like the earth on the axis, where the last of our kind watches the world, universe, stars, galaxies blend together in this bittersweet ending. The end, or is it just the beginning? End poem.
Wow, that's a very thought-provoking write. You know, it is filled with incredible imagery, but you can feel the emotion blended in quite beautifully in this write. The feeling of, the tears and broken hearts and fears and feeling numb and grieving, they all are palpable. And, you really got to wonder if, the end is really the beginning. It's fascinating, right? Very well written and well read, Pam. Thank you so much for reading that. Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, yes, you were within this hurricane. This was holding nothing back. I liked it a lot. I particularly liked, we're inside the elements, hurricane, deeply in pain. Yet I feel numb. This is surely insane. I'm past the time of healing. I'm lost within the ceiling. You're the one I'm grieving. I'm the teller kneeling. Ah, so well done. I really enjoyed it. I thought this was very clever, very well written, very smooth, but with an awful lot of impact. So thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this is definitely amazing. Great inner and end rhyme throughout. Wonderful play on words, strong imagery. I like how, to me, this is an epic and captivating tale of love and desire in a world of violence and a world that's rapidly changing. And I like it where at the end he says, the end, or is it just the beginning? But I also like exposure within flesh, walls will refresh, loneliness will be our guest. We could have guessed, sadness will be our past. We could have laughed. Amazing lines all the way through and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. Okay, Weaver, I have the next poem up if you wouldn't mind reading it, please.
Yes, I would be happy to. Here we have. Sorry. Okay. The Rendezvous by Magic Light. The rendezvous, as was agreed, to be on Monty's Peak. So important was their need, they couldn't wait to speak. A scented letter she had sent, he had beneath his bed. His loving wife discovered it. Confronting him, she said, how could you do this to me? You're having an affair. I have been so blind to see you spend your time with her. She writes of love and caring and longs to share her life and begs you to be daring and leave your awful wife. He promised her it ended. It had finished long ago. But she knew he had intended to meet her in the snow. He scurried to his mistress, confessed they had been caught. They planned that they'd escape tonight, a better life they sought. They took his car and sped off on Monty's icy road, down the hill with snow that soft, in silence they both rode. But halfway down that icy hill, he braked, but was not able, as fluid from the pipe did spill. Someone had cut the cable. The silence turned to screaming as the car it crashed the bend, the end of selfless dreaming, for their journey was to end. An early morning phone call can only mean one thing. A wife was not about to bawl. She smiled and let it ring. End poem.
Wow, what a dark write. He says in his author's notes, this was one I penned some years ago, but I couldn't enter as a pre-write for some reason. But, it really captures the brutality of having an affair on your wife and keeping it a secret and planning to run away with this woman. And then, you know, he took his car and sped off on the Monty's icy road down the hill with snow that stopped. In silence, they both rode. But halfway down that icy hill, he braked but was not able. As fluid from the pipe did spill, someone had cut the cable. And then that last line, a wife was not about to bawl. She smiled and let it ring. Wow, dark and haunting, for sure. Excellent write and fantastic read, Weaver. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, definitely a dark write. I especially like the twist at the end. I get the impression that the fact she was not about to bawl and she smiled and let it ring means that she knew very well, you know, that she, obviously she was the someone who had cut the cable. And, you know, like they say, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. You know, wonderful rhyme and flow, great imagery, epic storytelling. You know, he promised her it ended, it had finished long ago, but she knew he had intended to meet her in the snow. He scurried to his mistress, confessed they had been caught. They planned that they'd escape tonight, a better life they sought. Great writing all the way through and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think?
I think this guy had a death wish. I mean, fancy leaving the letter under the bed. Who did he think was going to tidy up and make the bed? His loving wife. Oh, dear. It was so clever. I really enjoyed it. It really was good. Oh, dear. Oh, I love the way he said it ended and he scurried off to meet his mistress. And you knew it was coming, didn't you? That break was able. He wasn't able to break. As fluid from the pipe did spill, someone had cut the cable. Yep, well done, very well done. Very dark and also amusing, which is a great combination. I like the fact that she didn't even bother to answer the phone. I know what it's about. Never mind. So good. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Pam, what did you think?
Didn't I already comment on this one?
Did you? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, sorry. I agree. All right, so I've got the next poem up. This is called Talk and Choose by Manchild. But maybe while I read this, you two could look up another poem to add to the reading list, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Yes, of course, no problem.
Thank you. Talk and Choose. Remember? We stomped down to Kansas City, yeah, kicking ass, till we both was shitty. And Elvis had old suede, Cousin Blue, stole from Carl Perkins and his song, too. A broad-shouldered brogan, Joe, he had taps put on his heel and toe. Mr. Sam put him on the cat's raw paw shop. Sounds like a horse, clip-clop, clip-clop. And them high heels, and them high-stitched grays from Stacy Adams. The players, musicians, even Count Basie had them. Those gators and snakes from the swamps down south are for smooth-talking players, never land in their mouths. Remember Speedo, the little shoeshine boy? Man, what a touch. It was pure joy to see my reflection by just looking at you, and you could see yours in me too. So many of us, the world has known, molded, lasted, and finally shown, sown, for every use and occupation, to tame a horse, defend a nation. You took a little, the worse for wear. You look a little, the worse for wear. Lean to one side. Bottom, most bare. And me? Yeah, I got a scratch and scuff for an old pair of shoes. Times can be tough. This closet floor sure is dark and dusty, and these funky clothes are kind of musty. The best spots go to newer and sleeker, a pair of red bottoms, an Air Jordan sneaker. But they can't beat us when it comes to prancing, doing the boogaloo, salsa, and dirty dancing. The weight of the world we bear with no fuss ain't nothing like some boss kicks like us. And, yeah, you know, I like it. I like the whole talking shoes. You know, he's talking, these shoes are talking, and they're talking about the life they lived and the where they've been, what they've seen, and how they've come through it all only to be set aside for new shoes of Air Jordan sneakers. I thought it was fabulous. Excellent, right? And congratulations on your bronze, Manchild 99. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I enjoyed this. Could you imagine? Could you imagine if shoes could talk, especially the shoes of musicians? You know, all that they would have to say. I really love this first-person narrative from the point of view of a pair of shoes. So many of us the world has known, molded, lasted, and finally sewn for every use and occupation to tame a horse, defend a nation. You know, this many different uses of shoes and all the things they threw out history. You know, and I really like the playfulness of the lines, but they can't beat us when it comes to prancing, doing the boogaloo, salsa, and dirty dancing. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think?
Yes, this was so well done. I really enjoyed it. As Pam said, it would be wonderful to hear the stories. I love any dancing movies. I'm in there. I love them. I just think there's so much joy in dancing. Music is wonderful, but you put a body dancing to that music and you've got a hit, definitely. But I do love the fact that this is all about shoes, and that penultimate, no, it wasn't a penultimate, it was the third stanza. You look a little the worse for wear, lean to one side, bottom most bare. And me, yeah, I got a scratch and a scuff. For an old pair of shoes, times can be rough. Ah, brilliant. I love the personification of inanimate objects. I really have always loved that. I think it's so interesting, the slant that people put on those things. So, yes, beautifully done, very clever, and thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely, great comment, thank you. Okay, Pam, I'm posting your next poem, if you wouldn't mind reading it, please.
All right.
I just saw your comment in the group.
Yeah.
I heard sirens. Gray was so brave to keep reading even when the cops are after him.
Yeah, I admire that. That is dedication to poetry.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. Well, this is a limerick chain called The Painter Frog. A frog loved to paint every day in colors of various array, but he only saw scenes of earth tones and green, so he traveled far, far away. He traveled by horse and balloon to lands of perpetual June, with warm rays of sun and frolicking fun and hues of delight neath the moon. He painted bright flowers and stones in a collage of jewel-flickered tones, but his froggy heart longed for the swamp and its song, so he packed and headed straight home. Now he paints lily pads, dragonflies, white clouds in cerulean skies. He puffs up his chest, looks dapper in a vest, while his art makes the lady frog sigh. End poem.
I loved it. Excellent personification of a painting frog. You know, I enjoyed it so much. You know, your limerick chain was great, and, you know, I love the rhyme scheme throughout. It really is a magical rite, you know. You can picture this frog as all this happens, and I just thought it was fantastic. Pam, thank you so much for sharing. What did you think, Weaver?
Thank you, Greg.
Absolutely.
Oh, I thought it was. I love a good limerick, and these were good limericks. I don't know whether it's the form of it that adds such a brightness to the rites. I mean, I suppose people could write depressing limericks, but usually they're fun, and this was fun. I mean, this was so clever. The frogs surrounded by the swamp and the green, and look at his face. And that's all he could find to paint, earthy tones and greens. So off he goes on his travels. But he decided Northwest home's best. So he went back and went back to his lily pads and dragonflies. Very clever, very sweet, and I really enjoyed it. Made me smile.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Would you like to say anything about your poem, Pam?
Yeah, this is just a fun write. I enjoy doing limericks. I came across, I've been doing the poem a day for National Poetry Month, and fingers crossed, I've managed to make every day so far for the past 22 days, but we'll see how it goes. I haven't managed to ever complete it in the last few years, so we'll see if this will be the big year. And if it is, I'm going to celebrate with cheesecake. And just because I like cheesecake. All right. But, this was great fun to write and, you know, just one of those entertaining writes. So thank you.
Yeah, it absolutely was entertaining. Thank you, Pam. Okay, Weaver, I have your poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Of course. This is called Wilted Rose 1. Because I had written this and then looked at the contest rules and found it was meant to be only 50 words. Oops. So that's why it's one and the other one is zero. So, Wilted Rose. I used to have a glow of pink upon my cheeks. My lips were of a berry hue, but that's no more. Artifice is all I have to mimic a life now lost. Hiding a vampiric deathbed grey visage is hard. My maker, for 200 years, was attentive. Now newlings strut around, still plump and rosy. They know not to be wary of me yet, but soon their numbers will mysteriously start to dwindle. My maker must be reminded that I was his first. I am the mistress of this bite. I should know if some newlings are going to infect these environs. No, of course I mean join, in blood and bitter bile. These partly clothed trumpets are naive. A message supposedly sent from our maker will lead each one inexorably to a quiet area where I wait to send them to their final death. The sun will destroy all evidence. End poem.
Wow, another fantastic write on vampirism. I really liked it, you know. I really like the way you began. I used to have a glow of pink upon my cheeks. My lips were of a berry hue, but that's no more. Artifice is all I have to mimic my life now. Hiding a vampiric deathbed gray visage is hard. You know, the troubles of a vampire, right? And then the newlings coming along and stealing your thunder is also definitely a palpable feeling. You know, you can feel the angst that one would feel as this was happening in their world. So just a beautiful write, Weaver. Excellent write. Thank you for sharing. Pam,
thank
what
you.
Do you think?
Absolutely. Oh, this is definitely an excellent dark tale. Again, a wonderful vampiric story. I like how so oftentimes with your vampire stories, there's the darkness, but there's also the touches of humor. My lips are of a berry hue, but that's no more. Artifice is all I have to mimic a life now lost. In other words, you know, you have to wear a bunch of makeup in order to not look rather dead. And which is basically just describing me in the morning, you know.
I also
really like the attitude of now newlings strut around still plump and rosy. They know not to be wary of me yet, but soon. Yes, a lead vampire, a creator vampire, needs to be able to teach those newlings what their place is and how to stay in it. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Excellent comment, Jen. Thank you. And would you like to say anything about your poem, Weaver?
No, just the fact that it was this long and then it had to be 50 words and that was really difficult. It's so much easier to make something longer than it ever can be to make something long shorter. That doesn't make sense, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, you've used all these words to express exactly what you wanted to, and then you've got to cut it in half. That was another vampire one, but I do tend to love them.
Oh, that's good. Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, I've got the next poem up, and this is by myself, Gray Eyes Smith. It's called Desert Oasis. I saw the constellations reflected in sweet dewdrops as the nectar of your flesh cried out to be tasted. I sipped my way through the hills and valleys of your endless floodplains, where I saw what must have been heaven's gate unfolding before me. I was ready to die. Take me away like the darkest lake at midnight hour, drinking in the silver of the moon, refracting as it fades into the bottomless needs of desire. It is there, like a blind man, I touch and feel my way across your burning plains of needs, unfulfilled, until finally I plunge into your desert oasis, sending ripples across realms of remembrance, the remembrance reflecting as our eyes gaze upon the reflection of everything that was and everything that will be. Poem. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, this was beautiful. Oh my goodness, amazing imagery and metaphors. I like how it speaks on getting lost within somebody. I always enjoy the use of nature imagery and metaphors that you use in your sensual rites. I particularly like Take Me Away Like the Darkest Lake at Midnight's Hour, drinking in the silver of the moon refracting as it fades into the bottomless need of desire. It is there like a blind man I touch and feel my way across your burning plains of needs unfulfilled. Wonderful sensual lines throughout, heartfelt and very well done. And congratulations on a well-deserved front page pick.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And Weaver, what did you think?
Well, I thought I wanted more. This was beautiful. I'm waiting for the next few, stanzas to come up too swiftly over. I thought it was beautiful. I love the metaphor of the oasis and the floodplains and just beautiful. It really was. And I particularly like, Pam's already read it, but I can't help but do it again. It is there like a blind man I touch and feel my way across your burning plains of needs unfulfilled. Beautiful. And then we're plunging into the desert oasis. That sounds like fun. Sending ripples across realms of remembrance. Yeah, I mean, really, you can imagine it's like a man in the desert sees the oasis. You get to where you wanted to be and totally enjoyed it. I thought it was wonderful. I liked it. You need to do more of this, please.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Thank you, Weaver. And thank you, Pam, for calling in. Thank you, Weaver, for calling in. I appreciate you both. Much love and have a great night.
Thank you, my dear. It was most enjoyable.
Good night, Pam. Good night, Weaver.
Good night. Good night, Pam. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Please come again.